The fear of God. It's a good thing. Here's Pastor Al Pittman to explain.
What if the fear of God fell on your marriage? What would change? What if the fear of God fell upon Calvary Worship Center? What would change? What would happen with our relationships? It's not because we fear man, but because we fear God, we want to make things right. We want to answer the call of God. We want to serve God. We want to glorify. I think what we need more than anything else to change our society in America is not a better economy, but it's the fear of the Lord.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
As we live in the information age, we discover that the most dangerous information is misinformation. Imagine being a military general with misinformation about a target, or a teacher giving children misinformation about an exact mathematical equation. The results will prove to be nothing less than disastrous. In the same way, Christians are to steer clear of giving misinformation about our faith. To do this, we must look to the Word of God. You're tuned in to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman from Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Acts 19 is where we'll be today. Here's Pastor Al.
Notice something here. We're going to read in just a moment that the devil has a temper tantrum through this man possessed by an evil spirit. He has a temper tantrum. The rage of the devil, beating these guys, tearing the clothes. Out of that rage, God brought forth his righteousness. Is the point I'm making here. Because out of the rage that we've seen in our streets this summer, and I'm not talking about peaceful protest, but out of the rage and some of the anarchy we've seen in our streets and the violence and the killing and the burning and looting and all these things, out of the rage, I believe God has birthed his righteousness. What do I mean by that? I mean that simply it has created in its wake a hunger within our society for true peace. Not usual peace, but unusual peace. Amen. Not the usual peace. Amen. Give God praise and glory. Amen. Not the usual peace of promises from politicians or the usual peace of religion, but the peace that surpasses human understanding. Peace with God that can only come through a right relationship with God through faith in Christ. There's a hunger in the wake. I don't know if you sense it, if you feel it in our nation. People are looking for truth. It's one of the reasons why we're doing those commercials. If we know there's people out there saying, there's got to be something more. It's not Democratic, it's not Republican. There's got to be something more. And there is. It can only be found through faith in Jesus Christ. And so even though the devil has been on a temper tantrum in our country, God has created a hunger within people's hearts for truth and for peace that surpasses human understanding, the unusual, if you will. In fact, the revival that's mentioned, and I spoke about last week in verse 10 of Acts chapter 19, here's part of the reason why it happened. Read along with me verses 17 to 20. This became known. What became known? That beatdown by that one demon-possessed man on the seven sons of Sceva became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came and confessing and telling their deeds. Also, verse 19, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. And so you see that out of the devil's rage, God gave birth to righteousness. God gave birth to a revival. And I believe that the rage that we've seen in our streets is brought an awakening to America, is bringing an awakening to America, and has sown the seeds of revival within the church. The unusual work of God through Paul And the violation of these seven sons of Sceva, God used for his glory. What Satan meant for evil, as the Bible says, God turns it around and uses it for good. And the Bible tells us, verse 17, that fear fell on them all. I know, but it sounds a little odd to those who are like, hey, just keep it positive, you know, and all. And I believe in being positive and all that. But when there's a real move of God, their fear falls upon the church. I'm not talking about, again, timidity. I'm talking about reverential fear of who God is. There's a holiness that takes place, a purification within our hearts, our lives, when the fear of the Lord, reverence for God's presence takes place. I just wonder sometimes how many Christian marriages would be healed if the fear of God fell upon that couple. That out of respect for God, each one did what was right in the eyes of God. Those who come before me must regard me as holy. Not just within the walls of this church, but in my home, on the job, at school, wherever I am. What if the fear of God fell on your marriage? What would change? What if the fear of God fell upon Calvary Worship Center? What would change? What would happen with our relationships? It's not because we fear man, but because we fear God, we want to make things right. We want to answer the call of God. We want to serve God. We want to glorify God. I think what we need more than anything else to change our society in America is not a better economy, but it's the fear of the Lord. And it starts in the house of God. Amen? But look at this. The fear of the Lord fell upon them all. And notice this atmosphere of reverence toward God. It produced four things. Number one, it produced the magnification of Christ. Christ was magnified. Verse 17, the latter part, says, and the name of Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus, was magnified. That is exactly what happens when the fear of the Lord comes upon God's people. Christ is magnified. And it changes society. You want to revolutionize society, man? Let Jesus loose on society through his people who fear the Lord. Christ will be magnified in that society. Where God is regarded as holy, Jesus is always magnified. And Jesus said this in John chapter 8. He answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Wow. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. I mean, Lord, you could say that, you know, direct it to ourselves. The Father always honors the Son. We say that God is our God. Then why don't we honor Jesus in our relationships? Because that's what God does, if we truly honor him, is that he always magnifies Jesus in our midst. And the Lord is magnified here. An unusual life of faith, I call it. An unusual life of faith, not the usual life of faith. Nothing's going to change, same old deal. But the unusual life of faith, one that lives a life of expectancy toward God, magnifies Jesus, because that's the Father's will. And how do we magnify him? Well, John told us. It's real simple. John the Baptist, John chapter 3, verse 30, that he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. He's magnified when Al Pittman goes away. When Al Pittman decreases, the Lord increases within his church. I must decrease if we're going to see Jesus glorified. You must decrease if you're going to see Jesus glorified in your life. The second manifestation I find here is genuine contrition. Verse 18 says, where the fear of the Lord has fallen, and many who had believed came confessing and telling on themselves. Amen. They came confessing. This speaks of repentance. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We know verse 9 very well. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, sometimes I see couples, married couples, I mean, Christian couples play this game. You know, they're separated or whatever, but none will come back. Or sometimes it's the wife or the husband. Usually it's the wife. who will say, well, when you get straightened out, then. When you get fixed, I'll be better. My experience has been, God says, no, I want to fix you. We're always pointing at someone else, and God says, what about you? I want to fix you. A person that doesn't have that attitude saying, God, you know, there's something wrong in our marriage or whatever. Lord, start with me. Lord, there's something wrong in our marriage, and I know exactly where it is. It's right here. Fix that, and everything will be fine. But you know something? Even when you think you're perfect, God still needs to work on you. God, start with me. What am I not doing? Or what am I doing? Or what do I need to do? Fix me. Instead of saying, I have no sin. What is it? You say you have no sin. You calling God a liar? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the way, you haven't arrived in heaven yet. So he's still working on your case. All right. I like what someone once said. They said, you know, sometimes we repent, but it's kind of half-hearted. He says, many people use mighty thin thread when mending their ways. Amen. It's always someone else's fault. But mending my ways, I use mighty thin thread. Here's the third manifestation I find here. Where the fear of the Lord has fallen, there's not only repentance, but there's the fruit of repentance. Verse 19. Those who practice magic arts and all of that sorcery and all of that involved in Wiccan and whatever else brought all their books and they burned them together. They didn't care about the loss in the sight of everybody. I want you to know I'm done with this and I'm clinging to Jesus. They didn't care who knew about it. And the Bible says there's, 50,000 pieces of silver it amounted to. I don't know what the price of silver is today. Someone said you might want to look at the price of the shekel and go times 50,000, the Jewish shekel. And one commentator said it could have been much as $25,000. I don't know. It's a lot of money back then. And yet they didn't care about what it cost. They didn't care about what people said. They bore the fruit of their repentance.
We'll have the second half of Pastor Al's message from Acts 19 in just a few moments, so stay tuned. In these confusing and sometimes scary times in which we live, would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Now to wrap up our message in Acts chapter 19, titled The Unusual Life, here's Pastor Al.
John the Baptist said to the Pharisees who came out to check him out, John the Baptist said to them, bear fruit unto repentance. The old King Jimmy says, meat unto repentance. Evidence unto repentance. Bear fruit unto repentance. Proverbs 28:13 says that he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I love that. Early on in my Christian life, I was a professional confessor. But I wasn't forsaking nothing. God says, if you confess, that's wonderful. Glad you confess. But he who forsakes will find mercy. So God began to show me that you need to come up with a plan. You need to forsake. You can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's not that I've arrived or anything like that, but I understand that you've got to have a plan. He who thinks he stands, the Bible says, take heed lest he fall. Take heed. I'm doing pretty good right now. Take heed. And be aware of those areas of weakness in your life, because we all got them. Stuff that you're drawn to, the propensities that you have. And come up with a plan to avoid those things. You know, I'm tempted by that one sister. Well, stop stopping by our house. The car just kind of goes that way. Right into her bedroom. Proverbs 27, verse 12 says, a prudent man, a wise man, foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple, that is the foolish man, passes on and is punished. Hide yourself. Have a plan. Amen. The fourth manifestation that we find here of fear falling upon the church, upon those who believe, the Bible says there was growth in the word. I love that. And you got to, you know, it's an interesting order here. It just kind of dawned on me that, you know, you've got to let go of these other things before you have growth in the word. You show me a believer that is not growing in the word, I'll show you someone who has no respect for God. Because if you have holy fear and reverence toward God, you'll be growing in the word. The word of God, the Bible says in verse 20, it prevailed. Prevailed simply means to be strong. God wants you strong in the Lord, not weak. He knows you have weaknesses, but he wants us strong in the Lord so that the enemy can have no dominion over us. Psalm 119, verse 133 says, direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. You know, God called you to have dominion over sin. That's what he said, you know, to Cain who slew his brother Abel. God says, you know, if you do right, it'll go well with you. He said, but sin crouches, I think the NIV says, crouches at your door. And then God said to Cain, but you must master it. And we can't do it within ourselves, but we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us strong in the word that sin may not have dominion over us. That's why you always hear me saying, stay in the word, get in the word. I've got to be in the word. And for me as a pastor, not just because I got to preach a message, I've got to read it for myself. I've got a race to run. Where there is love and respect for God's word, his people will prevail. They will be the head and not the tail. Amen. As a poet and didn't know it. Amen. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments, there it is, heed the word of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. I'm tired of being the brunt of the devil's jokes. Then obey his word. God will make you. He called you to be the head, not the tail, to be above and not beneath. People said, oh, how you doing under the circumstances? What are you doing there? He called you to be above and not beneath. Circumstances will come and go, whatever, but we still have victory in Christ, and that is through his word. Anyway, all right, here's what I think. I mean, as I studied this, and I thought, what's the point? Is that word unusual just stuck out to me, and I thought, man, the bottom line is, look at this crazy, great stuff God is doing here, because God really, I think, for every believer, wants to blow our minds. I don't think he wants us settling for what's usual. I think he wants us living in the unusual, the supernatural. I think he wants us walking, you know, with a heart of faith, expectant faith, looking to God to do great and mighty things. Amen? But fear, and usually fear of man, can rip you off, can cause you to settle for the dregs of faith rather than having a faith, an unusual faith, that is an expectant faith looking to God. William Grinnell, he was an Anglican pastor, an English author, he once said this, that we fear men so much because we fear God so little. Close quote. We fear men. What are people going to say? What are they going to look at me? They're looking at me. Aren't they looking at me right now? I don't want to look at them, but they're looking at me, aren't they? We fear men so much because we fear God so little. And we live in a day and time, I'm here to tell you, that it's going to require courageous faith to stand up in the face of some of the stuff that is coming. And if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord, you're not going to make it. My wife and I was at the house of a friend the other day, and he shared this prayer with me. He had it mounted on the wall. He says, this is something that I believe God wants me to hear every morning. And I said, man, I'm going to take a picture of that. I'm going to share. I'd like to be able to share it and all. And I've got his first name here. I don't have his last name, so, you know, protecting his identity. But this is the prayer that he has mounted on his wall. He said, God wants me to hear this every morning. And he reads this every morning. And the prayer goes like this. It says, Bob, I want you to lead a passionate, purposeful, diligent, hopeful, joyful, courageous, and worry-free life. Trust me 100% because I have it all figured out. Be at peace and don't worry. And Bob, it's going to be so great, you won't even believe it. I mean, what a great perspective. And he's a great man, becoming a dear friend. What a great perspective on life. In other words, when I read that prayer, I thought, in other words, daily refuse to settle for the usual and expect the unusual from me, says the Lord. Isaiah says it this way, and we will close. Isaiah 43, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? In other words, God says, I want you to know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What is he saying? He's saying, you know what? Your life's not over. I know you may have had failures in that previous chapter, but God desires to write a new chapter to show you some new things. He said, if I was to tell you what I was going to do, it would blow your mind. You wouldn't even believe it. If someone had come to me, a couple that is here today, and I married them 40 years ago. If someone had come up to me, I'm glad to hear it, and congratulations, 40 years. Hallelujah. Amen. If someone had walked up to me 40 years ago and said and told me what I'm seeing today, what God is doing through this ministry, I would not have believed it. And no way. Yeah, but he's the God of no way. He makes a way out of no way. So regardless of who you are, God says, I want to blow your mind if you just let me. If you live with a heart of expectation, if you take the arrows that I've given to you and hit the ground like I've already given you the victory, trust in me, I'll show you great and mighty things. Amen? That dried up marriage, that dried up relationship, that dried up faith, God says, I'll have rivers flowing through. If you trust me, we serve an unusual God who performs unusual miracles for an unusual, peculiar people, a royal priesthood called the church.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in the Book of Acts. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.